Hello, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White. Tonight we have another fascinating guest, Shelley Yates. Shelley is responsible for an unusual project called Fire the Grid. What's more interesting is the story behind it. So let's welcome Shelley to the show and find out more about how this all began. Hello, Shelley. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm good, thank you.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, I was just reviewing your story about the grid. I actually read it a while back and was just intrigued with it.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of the listeners who haven't heard it yet, maybe you could start at the beginning and tell us how this all came about. It was began with a near-death experience, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It was November 2002. I was driving along a flooded road, and I had my four-year-old son in the car with me. And I hit a really big pocket of water, and it was like a moving river, and it pulled my car towards the guardrail. And as it did, my car went up on the guardrail kind of in a roller coaster way, two wheels on the side.
Mm.
And as it came around the corner, the car literally flipped over the guardrail and out into this flooded lake about 10 feet. So I was first really pleased that I was landing in a bog. So I looked at my son and I said, "Listen, Mommy's going to get us out of this. Just, be calm." And when I put my finger on the window, the water started to rush into the car.
Ooh.
And I realized that this wasn't a bog at all. It was a lake.
Oh, my goodness.
So all of a sudden, the electric window stopped. Well, you know, electricity and water don't usually go together very good. So I realized that we were stuck in the car and that we had to wait for the car to fill up before I could get the doors open. I was a certified lifeguard. I was a scuba diver all my life. I felt completely sure I was getting out of this car. So I looked at my son, and I grabbed him by the coat, and I said, "Listen, we have to let the car fill up with water. You have to stay calm. Mommy's going to get us out of here." And he looked at me with big blue eyes and said, "Okay, Mommy."
Oh.
And with that, it only took a few minutes, and the water came up over us, and we were completely submerged in the water.
Wow.
So at that point, I tried to open the doors, and nothing would open. I couldn't get anything opened. I tried the windows. I tried the doors. So I finally took his body and decided that if there was any air in the car at all, it would be in the back seat. So I kind of pushed his body over the seat into the back, and I continued to struggle with the doors. So I'm not sure how long all of this took, but, however long you can hold your breath.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I had to breathe, and I went, "Ah!" And with that, I breathed the water into my lungs, and it was like liquid fire.
Whoa.
So I started to struggle against the water then. I started to panic, and I wanted my son's body back because I knew we were going to die, and I didn't want him to think I pushed him away.
Yeah.
In the last minutes, Mommy pushed me away.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting the water, and I'm struggling, and I'm trying to find his body, and I can't find his body, and I have to breathe. So I'm about ready to breathe in another gulp of water. And I hear this voice in my right ear, and it says, "Relax." And it was funny, because as soon as it said relax, I did. I stopped. I didn't have to breathe. And it kind of, first it was demanding, in a more commanding kind of voice. And then it turned into almost a cooing parental voice. And then I had an infusion of knowledge that if I continued to fight the water, I wouldn't be able to come back. They wouldn't be able to get me back with the CPR, and my lungs would be too filled with water. So this voice is in my ear telling me to relax and give myself over to the water, that they're coming and they're here to help me. And I'm thinking, who are they? Who are you?
Yeah.
I must be hallucinating. Because I was a diehard atheist, and I never even called out to God. It wasn't an option for me. My running joke was always, I had the power of one, all right, and you're looking at her. So I was a pretty hard woman.
Yeah.
And this voice was just so incredible, and it was so soothing that I put my arms out in the water and I died.
Wow.
I never took another breath. I never fought another second.
Wow.
It was perfect. So when I was dead, or I guess what I perceived to be dead, I was taken away and I met with these magnificent light beings that gave me instructions about, you know, they were going to save my son, and I had to go back and I had to be prepared to listen to the instructions. And they kept saying, have faith, child.
Huh.
Which I thought was a really odd thing to say, to call me a child.
Yeah.
41
yeah.
years old.
Huh.
So, anyway, the rescuers worked diligently for almost 15 minutes to get me out of the car.
Wow.
So I was trapped underwater for at least 15 minutes because
wow.
that's how long it took them to get me out of the car.
Good night.
So they pulled me over the guardrail, and the man started CPR, and he worked on me for 7 minutes, and he said, she's gone. And
mm.
with that, I sat straight up in the middle of the street there, and I said, get my baby out of the car. And everybody started to panic, and they went back in, and they went looking for his body, and they couldn't find his body.
Oh, my gosh.
So there were 3 miracles that day alone. There
yeah.
was a man. There was a man going north in a car with another man, and a man going south. And they were both friends, and they were both on cell phones to each other.
Huh.
And as they passed, I went in between. So one guy passed. I wasn't in the lake. The other guy passed. I was.
Huh.
And that's how they knew I had just gone in, because all that was left was my bumper.
Oh.
And the third thing that was there that was a miracle was there was a boom truck. Because they couldn't find his body, they had to go and get a boom truck and lift him out of the water.
Wow.
So it was pretty intense, and he was delivered to the hospital and declared dead on arrival.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said they did get him what they deemed alive, but they said I should unplug him because
huh.
he had no viable organs, he wasn't breathing on his own, and they were sure he was brain dead.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty bleak, and then I went out in the hallway, and I saw a vision of a bucket, and it was floating right in front of my face. I was wide awake, and I'm thinking, what do you want me to put in the bucket? And I kept hearing, fill it up, fill it up, fill it up. And when I looked around, everybody's aura was glowing,
huh.
doctors and nurses, and I was like, you want me to put the energy in the bucket? And then I heard ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh, my gosh, you want me to put energy in the bucket? How do I get it in there?
Yeah.
So then I had an infusion again of everything that they taught me in the lake.
Huh.
How to do an energy transfusion on my son.
Wow.
So it was very similar to what we would do with a blood transfusion.
Uh-huh.
Only we had to get physical energy from each person into his body.
Wow.
So we started a loving chain of individuals, as per the instructions, for 72 hours. And we put people through his room in the ICU. Against doctor's orders. They said, you know, this is highly unorthodox. I said, what do you care? You already
really?
Told me, yeah, you already told me he's dead.
Right.
What do you care?
Right.
And they said, well, okay, you're right. So they let me do it.
Right.
And for 72 hours, we rotated people through his bedroom, an hour at a time, infusing his body with human energy.
Huh.
They had to touch his body for no more than 20 minutes or their body would become depleted. And they had to give their gifts. So if they were a mathematician, they talked about math. You know, if they were a singer, they would sing. A storyteller would tell a story.
Uh-huh.
So whatever you deemed to be your gift to give, you shared with him.
Wow.
And during the daylight hours, we played really upbeat music, his favorite music. And when he was in a quiet time, we played Mozart.
Wow.
And for 72 hours, we did this. And on the 73, 74-hour mark, because I can't exactly remember, he opened his eyes.
Wow.
And within 6 hours, he was off of all the machines. And within 12 hours, we were in recovery, and he didn't even have the burns on his chest.
Gee.
So it was absolutely fabulous. It was truly a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
But to my opinion, it was a human miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I still didn't have any God or spirit or divine in my life.
Yeah.
So I could accept the fact that, oh, this was a human miracle.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
created this.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the part that the divine creator played in what was happening for me. That was definitely going to come later, because the voices and these light beings continued to come to me and share messages of love and hope and a new way for humanity.
Huh.
So this was very difficult for me, and I really struggled to stay Shelley.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be what I classified as weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to be talking to something.
Yeah.
So, but I couldn't deny it, and more I learned how to meditate, and I learned how to communicate, but not from books. I didn't read anything. This was from them.
Huh.
It was from downloads, I called them, because it was one day I wouldn't know something, and the next day I did know something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really incredible somethings.
Huh.
So all of a sudden they started talking to me about this grid that lived around the Earth. And I've come to discover that there's a grid inside of the Earth, too, and that the humans act as a charge or a lightning rod between the two grid systems.
Huh.
And that our energy field feeds these grid systems and keeps the Earth in a healthy, vital state. And that we have diminished our own energy fields to such an extent that we're not firing this grid on a regular basis.
Huh.
Our connection to the Earth and to the divine source is almost gone.
Yeah, yeah.
As a whole.
Yeah.
I'm not talking individually, but as a whole.
Right.
And they explained to me that from outer space, they can't even see us.
Really?
Because we're in darkness to them.
Wow.
And they said that there was an available time coming that we could charge the Earth grid and set Earth back on a pattern of healing and rejuvenation. And they gave me the date of July 17th, 2007, and told me that this date there would be an opening not only to charge the Earth grid and set us back on this path to healing, but to raise our own personal frequencies at that time. And that if we raised our own frequencies, it would be so much easier to live in a state of bliss and love, because the higher frequencies of humanity are where we experience joy, bliss, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we fire the Earth grid, not only will we give the gift of our energy back into the universe and into the Earth, but we'll charge our own fields.
Wow.
Catapulting the Earth and humanity towards a new time.
Wow.
So they gave me, it was a really interesting way that they gave me the information. It was like a ticker tape going around my head.
Huh.
You know, something like at the bottom when they put in the Dow Jones numbers?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was going around. It was like January, February, March, April, May, June. And then July would go, July, July, July. And it would kind of throb.
Huh.
So this is how many of the messages were translated to me, was through, I would hear some things in my ear, but usually very short sentences. And then I would have these infusions or knowings that I called downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third way was to see images similar to what I saw in the hospital with the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continued now for the better part of 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How often now do they communicate with you?
I guess I've had communication of some sort once a week.
Uh-huh. Do you get, like, course corrections, or, you know, does it kind of seem like this is still something that's possible, or do you get feedback from them on how it's progressing?
I do. When I first started doing this, I had no control. It was kind of a one-sided conversation.
Uh-huh.
And now, since I've been practicing more and more, and I've kind of given myself to the fact that this is my new truth, and that I have a really good connection with the divine source, and that I'm accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's become a little bit more two-sided, that I can ask something, and I get an answer, which is always really neat. Because in the beginning, I was like, what? What do you want?
Now you mentioned the divine source. How do you know what the source of this of these beings is?
The absolute love that comes from being in this presence.
Okay.
And the way they speak about humanity with such respect and love and reverence, and how much they want humanity to succeed, can only come from a source of absolute love.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, that is what divine source is. It's a place of absolute love.
Yes.
And it's absolutely unconditional. So that's how I know it has to be from a place. I've never been given, like they've never said, oh, we're from God.
Right, right.
You know, but there's certainly been conversations around the fact that divine source or creator has made living sources all over our universe.
Yes.
And we are one that has come to help humanity. And I asked why they had never come before, and they said, well, we have come at various different times throughout your history, but right now it is so thin between us and them because humanity has called out in a mass amount for guidance.
Yeah.
You know, enough of us have called out for intervention that they can now intercede on our behalf because free will reigns supreme on our planet.
Yeah.
They couldn't come until they were invited.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's what they told me.
Yeah, that does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. You also said something interesting that I was reading about tonight, that human beings chose many thousands of years ago to disconnect themselves from the collective grid so that they could have free will, and that the severance had allowed us to make our own decisions and be independent, but it also allowed us to make many mistakes which had adversely affected the planet.
Exactly.
That that might coincide with, you know, what is often said to be like the fall of man, or, you know, the descent into darkness, that, you know, we actually chose to disconnect from the grid.
Exactly.
That makes a lot more sense to me than, you know, falling off a ladder or something. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, what they explained to me about the grid system was many of the animals of our planet have stayed connected to grid systems.
Uh-huh.
And that's why geese and fish can move as if they're one being.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't bump into each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same grid system exists between humanity, but it's not turned on.
Uh-huh.
So in our most pure form, we're telepathic with each other,
yes,
and fully connected to source.
Yes.
We stand in our full knowledge. But when we chose to, it was almost like a parent allowing a child to, yes, go out in the world and make your own way.
Yeah.
And so when humanity said, well, we've grown all we can this way,
yeah,
we need to disconnect in order to have more growth.
Uh-huh.
So when humanity chose to do that and disconnect from source, the grid systems around us went off.
Oh.
The grids are still there.
Yeah.
And we can turn them on, and they can be turned on, but I think that's going to be an evolutionary process that comes after we fire the grid, and enough of us decide, well, we want to turn these things back on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we want to have a more free communication.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, that seems to be a common message with lightworkers today, too, is that, you know, that a few have, you know, well, actually, you know, there's a theory that 70 million incarnated at this time, and most of those souls that came to help us awaken from that side, from the other side, have themselves fallen asleep. So, you know, there's all kinds of different sub-programs going on here, yours being obviously a major one, you know, to get things back to connected to source energy again.
Yeah, yeah, and I totally understand what you just said about so many million light workers having fallen asleep again.
Yeah.
Because it is so much easier to not be accountable to yourself.
Yes.
Because once you're fully capable and aware and awake, you can't blame others.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you can't blame others, then you have to be accountable, and that's hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And maintaining a degree of integrity. I know the lesson for me through all this has been to maintain a sense of integrity that is foremost and utmost in my life.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to tell this story and ever have it wrong.
Yeah.
I felt that if I was going to share it, it had to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't put my own human spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, they explained to me on several occasions that many of the people who heard in the ancient times and wrote stuff down weren't satisfied to write stuff down the way they heard it.
Yes.
They had to put a sense of reverence
yes.
into everything
really.
That really wasn't there.
Huh.
And that the explanation they've given me is that all the pretense that we've put into our lives around great reverence is not that important to them.
Yes. Oh, that makes so much sense.
And it's about living true to yourself,
yes.
being kind to all,
yes.
and do no harm.
Yes.
Find your bliss and joy,
yep.
and then have gratitude for it.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yep. And that in firing the earth grid, what you're doing is, what we're looking to have you do is, if you meditate, meditate. If you pray, pray.
Yeah.
But if you don't do any of those things, they called you fence sitters.
Okay.
And they said fence sitters are people that would do something if they could do something.
Yeah.
But they all go, I don't know what to do. Nobody told me what to do. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do nothing.
Right.
I mean, how many of us are like that?
A lot.
Right. So these fence sitters have incredible charge in them because they're untapped potential.
Yeah.
So what they've encouraged me to ask these fence sitters to do is, if your favorite thing to do is to sit back with a can of beer and watch the ball game.
Yeah.
In a big old easy chair, and you go, now this is living. Well, then all you have to add to that is, I'm blessed and thankful. I'm blessed and thankful for this moment.
Uh-huh.
Because we each live in our own zone the best way we can.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the first lesson they want us to learn is about acceptance of each other.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what we call our divine source, or how we choose to use our rituals and reverence to pray or meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
It only matters that you connect and that you take care of you, and
yeah.
then the we takes care of itself.
Huh.
Because as each one of us awakens to the light that's inside of us, the we naturally starts to form.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you self-police. You don't do things because it feels too crummy to do it.
Yeah.
Not because somebody's telling you not to.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what these beings are saying, that this potential is available for all of us.
Wow.
And that in firing this earth grid, we are going to accelerate our own frequencies in a little boost. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody else in the world is entitled to the frequency rises that are coming.
Uh-huh.
It means that you'll have to do more work. So what they indicated to me that was going to happen during this grid firing was we were going to fire the earth grid and it was going to light up. And what I saw was ping, 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 and it went all the way around the world.
Wow.
Just lighting up.
Huh.
But our own energy fields also lifted into a really beautiful state. And then it was almost like the valve closed off so it wouldn't fall down again.
Okay.
And then once we've lifted this frequency, now we become beacons of light for others.
Wow.
And that lift would probably take 10 years of meditating.
Huh.
So this is an opportunity for us to get a boost of natural life and love energy.
Wow.
From the cosmos. And it's a really interesting story because I was contacted by the American astrology people.
Uh-huh.
And they told me that the date that I had picked was perfect.
Huh.
Perfect for a spiritual happening. Every single moon and planet was perfectly aligned.
Really?
And they said, well, where did you get this date? And I said, well, if it's perfectly aligned, it's because they gave me
right.
the date.
Right, right.
They must know.
Right.
So it was really fabulous. And a woman here in Nova Scotia, where I live, did the chart in front of me. And she kept going, oh, my gosh, this is so perfect. This is so perfect. I said, well, I'm glad because they picked it.
Yeah.
And it is. It is going to be a really wonderful date.
Wow.
And they also told me that the power of intention is what we're trying to form here. So like I told you with the guy sitting in his armchair.
Yeah.
If he's enjoying his can of beer and that to him is blissful living.
Right.
Then we're not to judge it.
Yes. Yes.
We're just to be grateful and happy that he has his bliss.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So each one of us might find our bliss sitting on a rock throwing pebbles in the water. That's your meditative bliss? That's great.
Right.
So what we have to do is allow each person to do that in their own way. But they even said that they were completely aware of the limitations of our humanity.
Yeah.
And that they know this time is going to create havoc in our sleep. And what we need to do in that case is, if you just can't get up to do this particular project, because
okay.
in some place it'll be, 3 a.m.
Right.
Or 3:11, actually. So what they said to do was, before you go to bed, have a discussion with your soul. So the human contacts the soul and says, okay, I know you're in there.
Yeah.
I acknowledge you're in there, and I'm going to write you a note giving you permission. So the mere fact, in the doing, we create the reality.
Wow. Wow.
So the mere fact that you write a note to your soul saying, I give you permission to connect to the universal grid system at 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, and I send all my love and bliss out into the skies at that time.
Wow.
And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. So you write yourself your little note, you put it on your bedstand, and you go to bed.
Huh.
And if you can't get up, you can't get up. Your intention is still stated.
Yeah.
And it's not as powerful, of course, as if when the human and the soul unite for one cause.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Does it seem to you, is your sense of this, that people will actually feel or sense something shifting and changing that at that moment?
I don't know.
Or is it something that we just have to kind of wait and see, you know, maybe not, maybe do it without expecting any results?
Well, they're very specific about stuff, and they said if you set yourself up for expectations with this project,
yeah. You
will be disappointed.
Right.
Because unmet expectations is the crux of human, you know, despair.
Oh, yeah, I can vouch for that one.
Exactly. So if we do this with all the love in our hearts, saying either way we win.
Right. Makes
either
sense.
Way we have done something. We've united a world for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And either way we win. So if it doesn't, you know, I always joke and I say, well, if the sky doesn't turn pink and you all float away, you've still done something really positive.
Yeah.
Because the next steps that come after this, I think, are going to be really important.
Okay.
I think this is like we're throwing open a door to a new time.
And maybe by our combined intent, we're giving permission. Enough of us are giving permission for the other side, or for higher forces, for the divine intent to actually connect with us and break through this darkness that we seem to be mired in.
Exactly. I think we're throwing open a door, and that the evolution is going to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
Our personal evolution is going to speed up, and we're going to be moving towards something new.
Mm. Thank goodness.
And because it's based in love,
nobody
who's firing an earth grid is going to be sitting around going, I hate you.
No.
So because it's based in love, my assumption is that it has to be moving towards love.
Yeah.
And enough of us, right now we have 800 teams in 50 countries.
Really?
And it's really growing very, very quickly. And we're about to revamp the website because it's gotten so incredibly busy that we just can't manage it. There's only three of us.
Oh, my.
And everything is done on a volunteer basis.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was told never to charge to speak, which I have never done. Nobody has made a penny from this project.
Well, I like hearing that.
There's been no money invested except for the little bits, $100 here or there to get the website going.
Yeah.
But that came out of the pockets of people who wanted to help me.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's been no money generated for any purpose.
Yeah, good.
So that was really, really important to these beings. They said that Jesus spoke to the world for free.
Yes.
And that was what I was to do, too.
Wow.
So you can imagine how reluctant the power of one was then. I'm like, and I got to do it for free? You know, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Well, it definitely is going against the grain at this point with everybody, you know, trying to get their little piece of the pie.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, you said something interesting about them telling you that I'm just guesstimating that they were talking about Christ or Buddha having been misinterpreted and having so much reverence placed on them by us and by people who took the messages and twisted them around. That really rings true, because we have this incredible, I don't know, it's like some kind of mystical, dramatic illusion that things are just different than they really were.
Mm-hmm.
Did they give you any examples of any of that?
They did, actually.
Oh.
they told me that when the Bible was being translated in its original form, the word in Aramaic for God was not father. It was daddy.
It was daddy?
Yes.
How funny.
And had we had a relationship with our daddy, it would have been a far different relationship than with a reverend father.
Oh, yes.
It would have been one of a very compassionate, loving, pat you on the bum, say, you're fine, go on, you'll be fine, try it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So you have to say, well, if one word is a little bit off like that, it would be really easy to do, because when I hear these beings, it would be so easy to put Shelley spins on what they say.
Yeah.
And try to figure out why, because a lot of people say why, and I say, I don't know. I can only tell you what I do know.
Yeah.
I can't make it up, and I can't put pieces in that don't belong.
Yeah.
Because it changes the message.
Yeah.
But the message coming through strong is acceptance of each other.
Yeah.
Loving each other, because as soon as you understand and realize who you are a piece of the divine source, you are a piece of God living within you. As soon as you start to recognize that in yourself, you have to know that every human you touch day to day is a piece of that same source.
Yep.
And therefore, you must love them unconditionally.
Yep.
Now, you may not like what their human's doing.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
You may say, I don't want to spend any time with your human because I don't like what your human's up to.
Right.
But you have to acknowledge that they're on their own path trying to find their own way.
Right.
And all we can do is send them some love and wish them the best.
Yeah.
Because when we send them hatred or animosity because we're angry, we don't assist their journey. And we certainly stunt ours.
Oh, yeah. And then the negativity that we send out there is just mirrored back to us.
Exactly. What you put out, you get back.
Yeah.
And that same thing goes for this grid system. They said that the faith of one person would accelerate 1,000 times.
Really?
The one true believer firing the grid was going to radiate out 1,000 squares. Now, I call it squares, but what they are is hexagons.
Huh.
And each person on the earth, each living creature on the earth gets one hexagon of space on the grid.
Huh.
No more, no less. And you know what? It doesn't matter how rich you are, you can't buy another one. You only get one.
Wow.
But it goes to show how equal we all truly are.
Yeah.
And that the only reverence we need to have is for life and for the gift that life has given us, because experience and the six senses that we have, that's including our divine connection.
Yeah.
Five and our divine connection. So being a sixth sense being is magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And for every one of us here on the planet, there's 6,000 souls wanting to come.
Wow.
We've all won the jackpot just being here.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, for somebody like me, I was suicidal my whole life.
Uh-huh.
I hated being here. And I was very unhappy. I'd had a lot of sexual abuse as a small child.
Uh-huh.
And I had grown up very dark. So for somebody to tell me that this light existed was, well, first off, it was, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But once I found it, it was magnificent.
Huh.
Because all of a sudden, even the bad things in our lives make perfect sense, that each one of them holds a lesson that we can't get on the other side.
Yeah.
So it was like, wow.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the bad things in our life weren't so bad. They were just moments.
Right. And they contribute to making us who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were all orchestrated by our souls.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the souls didn't ask the humans what they thought about it.
Right.
And that's the veil, or that's the piece that has been kept secret. And when I asked about that, they said, well, we didn't want you to all go insane.
Yeah.
Because
can
you imagine how difficult it would be to live here with full knowledge and be in this chaotic earth right now.
Oh, geez.
So I think the next phase of humanity will be with knowledge. We'll be here with knowledge.
Well, it sure seems like something has to give, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you know, we have finally global warming is becoming something that we can speak about, because we live in such a locked down planet in terms of information about what's going on, and there's so much corruption and greed, and you know, it's really a horrible place.
Well, they've never said a darn negative thing.
Yeah.
Everything is about positive and about moving forward and about taking our faith to new levels.
Okay.
Where we find bliss and joy, and that becomes our prime motivators. And as long as we have gratitude towards those things, all the wonders of the world are ours to enjoy.
Wow.
That was the intended purpose for us coming. That's why your body can feel magnificent sensations.
Yeah.
Because it is a gift from divine for you to use while you're on this planet.
Well, that does make a lot of sense. Have you done any correlations with the Mayan 2012 prophecies, and do the dates, how does it coincide with any of that that's going on?
There's something definitely in my visions that go with the Mayan date. I didn't know anything about 2012, but I was led to 2012 through a series of visions.
Huh.
That were very, when I finally went looking, I had drawn the images.
Uh-huh.
And when I found them, I found them in a book called The Mayan Factor.
Oh, yeah. Jose Arguelles.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't read the book. I just found the symbols, and I was just satisfied enough. Part of me was very resistant to read books, and still is, because I don't want to color what I say.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, when I talk about chakras, it's because it was downloaded to me, not because I read it in a book.
Yeah. I kind of get things that way myself.
Yeah, so I try to steer clear of books. I like to be validated because something's in a book.
Yeah.
And that's my ego, of course. Everybody wants to be validated that you're not crazy.
Well, yeah, it's not a bad thing, you know.
Yeah, so... but I do try to stay away from books so that the things that I tell you are coming from what I've experienced.
Wow. Well, you certainly have had just some awesome, awesome, life-changing and magnificent experiences, and everything you say resonates.
Oh, well, good.
I mean, I can tell, I mean, everything you said is like, is totally true.
You know, can feel it.
I have my own truth meter, and when I'm talking to people on the phone, I can tell when they're, you know, I mean, I can tell when something doesn't resonate with me,
right.
Let's just say, and I can only go by my own truth. And so, you know, when I'm talking to you, it's like I'm just getting it straight from the source.
Oh, good.
it's amazing, and I don't have to, I mean, you know, I can ask you questions and various other things, but I mean, I know what you're speaking is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that you could possibly know these things or get this information in any other way than direct.
Yep. And I'm most blessed. But the thing is, we all have this capacity.
Yes.
You know, I always tell people, I'm just a big giant telephone.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine coined that for me because I really struggle with this all. And she said, well, just look at yourself like a giant telephone.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason my telephone is wired in,
yeah,
is because I died.
Right.
So it wasn't. I probably could have done the same thing with meditation and all the things that people work towards to connect.
Yeah.
You can do it with all those things.
Yeah.
Most the thing that raises your field most is having joyful experiences.
Yep.
And giving thanks.
Yeah.
Whether it's an ice cream cone or whether it's your child's face.
Yeah.
You know, that moment where you go, wow, this is a great moment.
Yes.
Always add at the end, I'm so blessed and thankful to experience it.
Wow.
And you raise your own field. And the more we raise our fields, the closer we become to this source.
Yeah.
Because we are a piece of this source.
Yeah.
They showed me this fabulous image. And they said, do you want to know how much a piece of source energy you are? And I said, well, yes, of course I do. And they said, well, here it is. So they went out past our universal kind of, you know, where all our planets are.
Yeah.
And they went out past that into another subsection, I suppose, of the universe.
Okay.
Out past ours. And there was this wonderful pink cotton candy fluff. Now, I know that certainly doesn't sound very reverent, but it was iridescent and it was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And somebody reached into the field of vision and grabbed a little spongy piece of this beautiful pink cotton candy.
Uh-huh.
And pulled it through the galaxies and pulled it through the universes and pulled it into our universe, right down into our world, and placed it in the top of somebody's head.
Really?
And they did this over and over and over again. And they said, see how much a piece of divine source you are?
Wow.
And all these little threads didn't break. We're still connected.
Wow.
But we're not connected through our heads like I thought, because later they showed me it comes out of our solar plexus.
Okay.
It's some sort of, what I saw was a liquid, the same liquid light that these beings are made of.
Okay.
Comes out of us through our solar plexus like a connection cord.
Okay.
And it's the same liquid light. And in some people, it's very, very small and ragged.
Okay.
And you can just tell that, wow, they're really turned off.
Yeah.
They're really grounded in the material plane.
Uh-huh.
And then in other people, I've seen it, and it's really big and glowing and strong.
Wow.
And sure enough, if you speak to them, they're very spiritual people connected somehow.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
In dogma or, you know, metaphysics or something,
yeah.
They're connected in their own manner.
Yeah. Are there angels and beings that are here that have incarnated to assist with this process?
I've been told there are. Yeah. It was explained to me that humanity is made up of subsets. The same way when you go to a university, we have a university here called Dalhousie, and most of the students are from Halifax.
Okay.
In that school. But we have the, you know, an African community, and we have an Asian community at the university.
Right.
That's the same as the soul sets of our planet. Most of the people on this planet are soul sets of earthly beings that chose to come here and go through the cycles.
Okay.
But many of them are soul sets of other beings, angels being one of them.
Okay.
So the soul set within each human could possibly be different depending on, I guess, you know, what soul picked to be
right,
his vessel.
Right. Well, that would explain why certain people resonate with each other, too, that, you know, that people, I've noticed for myself that certain friends will come and go, and then I find just some really wonderful people, you know, at the last 6 months to a year, and it's as if we're old family and we've known each other for eternity. And
immediately you're best friends.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's very likely. I've met several people now in my journey that I just go, wow, you're really from my soul set.
Yeah.
I know you. I recognize you.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no hierarchy. Not one soul set is better than another soul set.
Well, that's good.
There's equality throughout the universe. Only on Earth do we have the inequality.
Oh, it's just so dreadful.
Yeah, but everywhere else in our universal system, that doesn't exist. And that's where we're moving to. And that's why I keep telling everybody, look, this is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
We're moving towards a union, and we don't even have to lose ourselves to do it.
Huh.
Because ourselves will be better people.
Uh-huh.
That we're going to be able to manifest the things that we want.
Wow.
With love and not with hate.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's a whole different prescription.
Yeah. Now, my son had a fabulous experience with angels.
Oh, what's that? What happened?
Well, when he was in the coma, because he spent 3 days in a coma,
uh-huh.
And we kept talking to him for the whole 3 days, obviously. So when he came home, I remember asking him kind of a roundabout way, was he afraid
uh-huh.
when he was in the coma? And he said, well, no. And he had this really puzzled look on his face. And I said, well, do you remember being in the coma? And he said, oh, yeah.
Huh.
And I said, well, where were you? And he said, well, God held me. I said, God held you. Now, the only time my child heard about God in this house was when I was swearing. So you can well imagine this is kind of strange, right?
Yeah.
I said, do you believe in God? And he goes, yes, Mom. God
uh-huh.
held me. And I was like, wow, well, I didn't know you believed in God. I said, we didn't believe in God before. And he goes, well, he said, God's real. And he said, so is God's army of angels.
Really?
And I said, God has an army of angels? And he said, oh, yeah. And he explained to me, I said, well, how do you know they're angels? He said, well, they have beautiful wings. And he said, out of their chest glows this love light. And I said, a love light. And he said, yeah, it's really, and it's always beautiful colors. And he's got his little hands up to his chest. He's 4.
Wow.
You know, and I'm looking at him, and his faith is unwavering.
Whoa.
And here I am struggling with mine. And I said, well, I said, what else did you see when you were with God? And he said, well, God's having a war on the planet right now. And I said, God's having a war? He said, yeah, God's having a war on the planet right now. And I said, well, you know, who's the war with? He said, well, they're dark angels. I said, how do you know they're dark angels? He said, they have little horns on their head.
Oh, really?
And I said, do they still have wings? He said, oh, yeah, they have wings, too. But he said, they're dark. And he went, dark.
Really?
I said, wow, that's, you know, really fascinating. And then he said, you know what, Mom? And I said, what? And he said, God's going to win.
Oh.
And it was just four-year-old beauty.
Wow.
Because there was no coloring him, you know.
Wow.
There was no convincing him God wasn't real. He looked at me like I was out of my mind.
Wow.
But yet, before this accident, he'd never heard the word God.
Wow.
So that, to me, was a real validating moment. But yet, I was still struggling with my piece of this. How was I going to believe like he did?
Right, right.
You know, I was with a partner at that time that kept telling me that I was making it up and it was crazy, you know, you're delusional, you're hallucinating. Well, this is part of our personal power problem, is allowing other people to tell us what we think.
Yes, yes, yes.
Especially when it comes to our own spiritual truth. You
yes.
know it.
Yes.
Like you just said, you know it in your chest.
Yes.
And my partner kept telling me that I was crazy, and I was believing him.
Yeah.
But yet then I'd look at my son, and one day I came downstairs and he was drawing pictures, and in every picture he had this swirling circle.
Okay.
And I said, what's that? He said, it's a vortex. I said, a vortex? What's a vortex for? And he said, well, it's a portal. God uses it for traveling through dimensions.
Really?
Well, I almost fell off the chair.
Oh, my God.
And he had drawn them on everything. You know how you do the little kids' worksheets?
Yeah.
He had drawn them on everything.
Yeah.
Including the number 444.
Really?
Yep. He said, I love the number 444. It's my favorite number.
Really?
I said, why? And he said, it's God's number.
How
so he just said these things that more and more I had to go and say, what is it with, you know, what is it that he's doing that I'm not doing?
Right, right.
Yep. But see, his little innocent soul was so open to truth.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Whereas me, they had to beat through the logic of humanity.
Yeah. And just all the years of, you know, of having been brainwashed, you know, and believing that there is no magic and that things that are invisible aren't real
exactly.
and things don't exist. And you know, when people start talking to each other, just like you and I are doing, when they just open up and say, you know what I saw or what I experienced, and they share it with their friends, it's 99 times out of 100, their friend is going to say, I had a similar experience. And when people start talking, you realize that nobody's really crazy and that there's some incredibly miraculous things going on in the world.
Oh, incredible. And like you said, we keep them to ourselves.
Yes.
I tried desperately to keep this to myself.
Oh, I can see why.
I flew up to a spiritual convention in May following the accident.
Yeah.
So that was, about 6 months, I guess, 7 months. And I went up there with sheer desperation because my body had started to change.
Oh, really?
My skin, I could feel my dendrites firing.
Really?
I could see and hear things that people weren't hearing.
Huh.
I could smell, so say cinnamon, right?
Yeah.
I could smell cinnamon 15 minutes before anybody else said they smelled cinnamon.
Really?
So I was like a dog with that cone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the doctor, and I said, what's happening to me? And she goes, you're the dead person? I don't know anybody else dead, Shelley. And I was like, well, that's true. And she said, I suspect you're being rewired.
Wow. And she actually figured that out?
That's what she said. I suspect you're being rewired.
Wow.
And I went to psychiatrists, of course. And they went, well, it sounds to me that you've had a divine experience.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I was like, okay, well, and then I went to traditional religions.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think people really didn't know what to do with me.
I can imagine.
They really didn't, because I had so much.
Yeah.
To say.
Yeah.
So I went to Montreal and I met with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Oh.
He does the extraterrestrial
stuff. Yes, I tried to get him on the show one time and it didn't quite pan out.
Well, Stephen and I became friends. And I remember saying to him, look, I've got this message for somebody. It must be you because you're listening to me. So I shared with him Fire the Grid. And I told him about the grid, and I told him all I saw, and I explained it, and I said, now there you go. You've got the information. Thanks for that. See you later. And he goes, no, that's not my project. But I wanted somebody to take it away.
Yeah.
It was like having a piece of information that you had to tell somebody.
Right.
But once you told them, you could walk away. Well, I gave it to somebody else, not my problem.
Right.
Nobody else wanted it.
Well, you know, in so many ways, I guess you realize now the blessing of being able to be the one to deliver this message. You know, and how is your son doing, by the way?
My son is awesome.
Oh, he sounds like it.
I always knock on wood. I guess it's a little superstition in me.
You're right.
He's in grade 3.
Oh, wow.
He's very clever, very smart. I suppose the only real repercussion we've had is that he still has a little bit of memory. He forgets things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could be 8.
Yeah.
You know, because most 8-year-olds don't. Where's your hat? You know, I don't know. But
you know,
other than that, he's smart, and he's witty, and he's charming, and he has a deep, deep belief in God and
wow.
the divine work. And he's that part of him I envy because he doesn't have to work at it.
Yeah. I've had to work at it too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think those humans like you and I who have woke up.
Yeah.
We have to walk a very tight line
until
we really make it part of our lives.
That's right.
And even then, it's a constant reminder not to be mean to somebody.
Absolutely.
Because your human kicks in and goes, big jerk, you know, and you go into this mumbling of, you know, saying something. Somebody cuts you off in the street.
Yeah.
And what we have to do is overcome that. And instead of sending out negative energy, say, oh, well, I'm going to send you out some love because you're obviously in need of some today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know about you, but I've noticed for myself that the more I'm able to rise to that occasion and stay in that state, the happier I am and the more fun I have. And so when I do go into town, I'm laughing and having a good time and joking around with people. And those kinds of experiences just don't happen to me.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and it's almost as if I'm a light, you know. Wherever I go, people just start smiling and laughing, and I joke around with them.
Exactly. Because once you become a beacon of light, you share it with others all the time.
That's right.
And eventually people say, what are you doing different?
That's right.
How come you're like that?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
now I find bliss and joy a lot. And I would never, ever tell anybody that I don't still work at this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's an ongoing practice.
Yes.
And you have to be very, very kind with you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That is so important.
Yes. Everything has to start with the I.
Yes.
Everything. When we take care of our eyes, the Lance takes care of his and Shelley takes care of hers.
Yep.
And we start comparing, and we stop judging, and we simply accept, then each eye becomes more and more high-frequencied.
Yep.
And then when you see other eyes, you become a we.
Yes.
And these beings that I'm talking with, you know, they're really a we.
Yes.
I shouldn't call them they because it sounds like they're outside of me, which I suppose in some sense they are.
Yeah.
But they're saying that this divine source is within everyone.
Yes.
So it is a we.
Yeah, and it's just that we have those of us who choose to walk this path get to see that before some of the others have realized it for themselves.
Right. And we have to be patient and kind until they do.
That's right.
not judgmental and demeaning. Oh, well, because the worst thing that could possibly happen is that we all awaken and then become judgmental because somebody's not.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You've got to keep your human in check.
And
you can't allow the ego to seep into your spirituality.
No.
And it doesn't matter. I don't care what you choose.
Yeah.
To be your divine source. I don't care what words you use. the bottom line is we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's not fight about whether I put it up or you put it down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's just admit that we're talking about the same things.
Yeah.
Accept each other's rituals as being important to you.
Yes, yes.
And I respect that for
yeah.
you. That's great
yeah.
if that works for you, but it doesn't. Mine, I do this.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that works for you. And that's why where we run off the railroad tracks.
And we go right back to square one where we're judging others for not being on the same page.
Exactly, exactly.
And Lance, I guarantee you we're all going to end up on the same page. And if we don't, then, well, what they explained to me was that the frequency of our Earth is changing so drastically.
Uh-huh.
If we don't get our frequencies up,
yeah.
there's going to be a lot of discomfort in the world. But
yeah.
that doesn't come from judgment. That doesn't come from, oh, you're a bad person, you're
right.
fire the grid, oh, you're going to be punished. It comes from just a mere fact of the frequency is different within the being and within the world.
Right.
So
right.
you're going to feel discomfort.
Right.
Because the new frequencies that are coming as we enter into the Milky Way
yeah.
are very, very high.
Okay.
And if we're not able to adjust to that very high frequency, we're going to feel like ill.
Yes, yes.
But again, it's not from judgment.
And a lot of people are feeling that, I guess they call it ascension symptoms. A lot of people are feeling that even now. And there's a gal, Karen Bishop, does these energy alerts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that, you know, they are pretty much mapping over my own experiences, you know.
I checked her site out because I had the similar thing. She was talking about Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, I do feel really bad this week with communication.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So,
this is all very real.
Yeah.
And we're talking about an invisible force called energy. But in the next 20 years, somebody's going to invent something to stick into the fields and go, oh, you measure 200. Oh, you measure 500. Oh, you're not feeling well. That's because you're only at 250. You got to get your field up to 450 if you want to feel better. And it'll just become part of our new language.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Do they show you any visions or images of what the future holds for us after this process has occurred?
No.
Because it hasn't occurred yet.
I guess all they have been very specific that the course of humanity will change because
yeah.
we intend it to change.
Yeah.
So if we don't do it, we'll have a different outcome.
No, yes. Yep.
Right? So each time we're presented with something where human intention can focus our direction,
mm-hmm.
we have to participate. It's like having a vote.
Right.
And right now you're giving a chance to vote.
Right.
Put your hand up and say, yes, there's enough humans here that desire this positive movement,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to participate.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think people are so jaded on the planet that we just need to remember and be reminded that this isn't like voting in the elections where both parties are the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, controlled by the dark angels. This is a real choice, and that this is the way that we can exercise our free will and our freedom.
Exactly.
To rise to the occasion, and that this is not about an election for politics. This is about our lives and our souls and the life of the planet.
Yes.
So
and our future generations
yes.
have got to have something to work with.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What we're going to be running. I can't believe we're almost running out of time. This has been such a wonderful dialogue with you. Can't believe it's just you are such a great person. I don't know why, but I had different ideas of what was going to happen, and you're just fabulous. I mean,
thank you.
It's
funny. A lot of people say that to me. You're not what I expected, and I go, thank you, I think.
Yeah, that's really terrific. I want to make sure that before we go that you tell people how to connect with you and with Fire the Grid.
Fire the Grid is www.firethegrid.com.
Okay.
We're in the process of trying to change the grid site a little bit, because I'm going to put a blog on.
Oh, good.
And because I've been inundated with email, but I keep sending them off one at a time, And I realize that I can probably answer 10 people
right.
same kind of question
right, right.
In a blog format.
Right, right.
So we're going to have a thing that you can send me a question or a concern or something you want to ask, and I'm going to blog it more than try to send them out individually.
Wonderful.
If there's something really important, we're going to have a site that you can contact one of the other coordinators, and they can get you in touch with me.
Wonderful.
Because
And I take it you are accepting, or you do invite people to join this in coordinating or volunteering if they so feel.
We have 50 countries. The world has 189. I'd love to see 189.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
How do we get 189? We share it, share it, share it, share it.
Yeah.
So we're going to put on the site what countries we have, which ones we don't.
Oh, good.
And we're going to start saying, okay, who do you know in this country? Can
yes.
we get somebody there?
Wonderful. Well, you have my total support, Shelley.
Well, thank you.
A marvelous project. It's deserving of as much energy and attention as everybody can give it. And I will be, you know, sharing and spreading the word on this all I can.
Well, thank you, Lance. That's very, very sweet.
And thank you very much for being on the show, Shelley. I'm so glad you were. And maybe we can have you back again just before the project is ready to actually roll.
I'd love that.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks a million, Shelley.
Thanks, Lance.
Okay. Bye-bye. And stay tuned, everybody, because Liz Miller is coming on with Otherwear, and she has a wonderful guest. It's me. So thanks again, Shelley. Good night, everybody, and I guess I'll be talking to you all shortly. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.